Welcome to Campfire Conversations, coming to you from the shores of Lake Michigan in beautiful Arcadia, Michigan, with your host, Ryan Tinetti, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church here in Arcadia, Michigan, and co-host, Chit May, executive director of Camp Arcadia. We get together to have the kind of conversations you have around the campfire with friends. It is so easy in our busy lives to forget what really matters, but the campfire. The campfire is a place where we make space to talk about things that count and to remember that we've been made for more. So grab a seat and join us around the campfire.
Welcome to Campfire Conversations. I'm your host, Chip May, Executive Director of Camp Arcadia. I have a real treat here today. We have two guest co-hosts of the show. Mm-hmm. We have the dynamic duo of Sarah and Tanner Olson. Sarah works for Camp Arcadia as our Donor Relations and Communications Coordinator, and Tanner is our poet in residence, I think is best way to describe you around
Thank
here.
You for calling that.
And so, but and we are joined around the campfire with Shelley Schwalm, who works at Concordia St. Paul as a professor of theology.
Christian ministry.
All right. Cool.
Let's not push it.
It's great to have a full campfire. I mean, that's what the campfire is about, right? You have people gather around a fire.
Right.
There's always some rando, a.k.a. Tanner, who pulls up. Just walks in and, like, it's kind of shadowy. You know who he is.
You guys got marshmallows?
That's right. The only thing we're missing is the marshmallows.
That's right.
But this week, I loved your topic. This is your first time speaking at Camp Arcadia, and it was awesome. Your topic was the other side of empty. Talk about emptiness and fullness, and maybe talk a little bit about what that is, because it was different than what I had thought in a good way. Like, it was a fuller understanding of that. You know, at first, I guess, I'll say, like, empty is, like, bad, and full is good. And so you're going to say how our life is so empty, and then how God fills it up, which is true,
sure.
And that's what you said. But it's more than that. So tell me more about that and how you developed this theme.
Yeah, so it was really interesting, you know, several months ago thinking about what can I talk about for a week, right? Like, there's got to be some...
It's true. It's like 5 days, right? 5 45-minute sessions. So it's a lot, right?
Yeah, so it's like where I need something that has some capacity to it. And so I love teaching the Bible. I love stories in the Bible and all that it has to offer to what can we learn about who God is and what does that mean for here and now. Especially teaching college students the Bible, it's like, well, why in the world should I care about this? Like, you have to look for ways that it connects. And so when I think about that, what's a theme that I can hang out in for a week that also, like, matters to people? Mm-hmm. And so just thinking about how we've all dealt with probably more obvious emptiness in various ways the last few years. And so hoping it gave me enough content to talk about, but also enough space for people in a lot of different life stages or situations or scenarios to say, oh, yeah, I can resonate with that. Or I see this story in the scriptures that I can identify with in a few different varieties. So we talked about emptiness could be good or bad. Yeah. And so three different types of empty that we're looking at, and empty as lack. So you think of people who are hungry, who want to have kids, like these different lacks that we have and we see in the scriptures. There's empty spaciousness. So where is there possibility? God puts this rhythm of rest to say, hey, we're not going to work for a day a week because I just want to hang out with you and have you hang out with me and do that. And we're better off for that. So the spacious possibility, right? And then the third is emptying of self. So seeing that, of course, in Jesus. And then this invitation for us to do the same. Mm-hmm. And sometimes full is really good. At the beginning, everything is full and thriving and all is as it ought to be. But then we see really quickly it's full of sin and dysfunction to the point where God is like, actually, we're going to do a flood thing for a minute.
Yeah. Shelley, one of the, I'm going to interrupt you.
Yeah,
I'm very sorry. One of the most interesting things for me that you talked about was that fullness, and I think you were getting here, the fullness of futility. You called it cotton candy full. Could you speak a little bit more to that and how you see that playing out? Because that is something I had never thought
and
of.
Sarah's a big fan of cotton candy.
I'm a huge fan of cotton candy.
So she's kind of
so sorry.
And Tanner likes elephant ears. They're just circus people.
I didn't realize that I could have probably offended cotton candy lovers across the board.
We accept your apologies.
Okay, sorry.
It was a great story you told about, you know, going to the ball. Anyway,
the ballpark and my niece and nephews, and they're just like magnets to cotton candy. And then Grandpa Caves, they eat it, and dinner is an absolute disaster, right? Because nobody wants to eat anything. And so we can easily see, okay, I fill my schedule, I fill my time with looking at my screen, I fill my life with lots of things that are really comfortable and might make me think I'm filled, much like cotton candy, and then a few hours later I have a stomach ache, right? Or like...
Or a sugar low, or...
Yeah,
well, this wasn't the best choice.
But then there's also, right, no room for the thing that I actually need.
Yeah.
Right? The thing that's actually good for me, which I found.
Which are elephant ears.
Yeah.
Yes.
In that same sense. Shelley, you also talked a lot this week about God as gracious host. And God, you know, the idea that there's always more in the back. I guess maybe there's not really a question there, but say more about that.
So really a Hebrew way of thinking of what does it mean for God to be creator, right? That, and we see this like in Lutheran theology, we kind of dig in and say, it's like clothing and shoes and house and home and family and all
we
these.
Love the list.
Right?
So we had to memorize the small catechism for confirmation. Good Lord.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, absolutely. But
sheep,
that's what it
cattle,
means.
Cattle, maidservants, manservants, you know.
Like there's an ox.
Where are my
there's got to be an ox.
Yeah. I didn't always.
Everyone needs an ox.
Excuse me, I did not get my ox today.
As I know it, Honda Accord.
Yes. So that mindset or framework is really different than most of us who are always thinking we don't have enough, right? Mm-hmm. And how anxious that makes me when I'm... My anxiety comes from a scarcity sort of position, whether that's I don't have enough money, I don't have enough to provide for myself, I'm not where I want to be relationally or family-wise, like... But to understand, if I imagine the most extravagant party, right, a mansion and all the trays of the best food and the best company, and if I know that nothing is ever going to run out, it's like, oh, your pace is relaxed. I'm not in charge of the party. There's somebody else who's doing those things and taking care of the stuff. But when I start to think, oh, man, it might run out, so I should probably shove a few things in my purse or, you know, like... hustle over to the corner or whatever that
take
looks
three
like.
Three canapes and shove them in your mouth at the same time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then again, the stomach ache, right?
You
scenario.
You kick yourself for not packing your Tupperware to somebody else's house. How many times I've been there.
It's true.
We grab things that don't, you know, it boils down to we grab hold of things and cling tightly to things that don't actually or shouldn't actually be clung tightly to.
For sure. Because they weren't meant to hold that, right? And so even with like the cotton candy analogy, Ecclesiastes, I think it's a bum rap because it's like everything is meaningless. Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a wrap.
Right? That's,
yeah,
that's yeah. just really
and
what everyone...
That's where we'll end the podcast today, folks. Everything is meaningless.
But it's this thing to say, hey, there is a gracious host who's taking care of everything. Let's not get hooked on the thing, but being relying on the host and being in relationship, and we get to seek first his kingdom. We get to hang out and be in proximity with this host who then we see as Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. That shows up with us physically. And that's where all the cool filling stories happen. It's like, oh yeah, just be in proximity to the one who fills. Mm-hmm. And then we're not nervous.
That's
right.
And then the fish and loaves become lots of fish and loaves.
A lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the water becomes wine, you know.
Yeah.
And the little bit of purpose becomes a lifelong you know, a lifelong journey.
But if I'm looking to myself, if I don't trust that that's true, that there's always more in the back, there's always abundance, then it's like, I have to prove myself and my work, or maybe I'm out of time to get married or have kids, or, you know, maybe I'm going into debt for things I don't even need to impress people I don't even like, right? So it's just this whole...
Can you talk about a time in your life, like an example from your life, when you've wrestled with this emptiness and fullness?
Yeah. there's a bunch of scenarios.
And heads up, I'll be asking you guys too, all right?
So, we're ready.
We're ready, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, so I am not married. So this sort of relational empty and full, and what does that look like, and what does that mean, and maybe things aren't the way I thought they would look at this point in my mid-30s. Mm-hmm. But to trust that and to realize that there's so much relational abundance that I get to have with my college students, with being an auntie and a friend who gets to show up in a lot of different things. But I think, like, financially, too, I'm my own support, right? So it's like... There are a lot of days where I spend a lot of anxiety on how am I going to pay for these things and how is that going to work? And if nobody else does it, I have to do it, right? And so so those places. But then it's also like, oh, Shelley, there needs to be a lot more space in your life, right? So if I'm trying to fill up with work and all these things, it's like, is there actually space to... be in step with the Lord to celebrate and enjoy what is abundant and good. And so, yeah, I think I've seen that in my own life. And so then those stories like pop off the page. So, so incredibly, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Thank you for sharing. Sarah, anything that pops to your mind?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of things that pop into my mind. And Shelley, you know, you talked about this week, you talked about feeling the physical emptiness or lack of, you know, resource, that, you know, lack of purpose or, you know, empty nets is what you call that, you know, that lack of purpose or needing purpose, the lack of relational, you know, things that, I think I've experienced a lot of those things, because I think it's really easy to slip into scarcity mindset in those things, in those lacks. One thing that I was thinking about, well, I mean, for us, we're in the process of adopting, right? And so our family story isn't the story that we thought it was going to look like, much like, you know, you were talking about in your relational, your relational emptiness and fullness, right? And there is a beautiful emptiness that is going to lead eventually to a beautiful fullness of family for us, right? And so that, you know, we're in the middle of that story, right? Mm-hmm. We're in the place where empty is not yet full. And that empty, you know, you said at the beginning of the week, emptiness can also be a spot for spaciousness. And what is that emptiness creating space for? You know, I think about the ways that we're able to interact with our summer staff, that we're able to connect with guests here at camp all summer long, with our community back in Nashville. Some of those things wouldn't be possible if God didn't have this emptiness in our lives right now at this time.
It's a lot of like wrestling with the why is it the way that it is, or wondering out loud, you know, like did something go wrong? Did I miss it? I think you talked about that too. Like, did I miss the opportunity? I think, you know, as you were talking, of course, I was thinking about adoption and, you know, the way that I thought life was going to be is not the way that life is. And then how is that a gift? Right? Because it is like, in a lot of ways, it's a gift. The experience, the questions I have, the compassion we've learned, the empathy that we've got, you know, the hard things that we've gone through. It's all for something. I was thinking a lot about like work stuff, you know, like when I first started doing what I'm doing, the speaking and the writing and the sharing, I thought it would look so much different than where I am today. But I have to remind myself to take a step back and be like, no, there's some good things here. Sure. Like the emptiness is also in a lot of ways, it allows you to be very full. Or it allows you to communicate or offer this direction or this point of view. So I think as you were talking all week, I was just kept being reminded again and again. And this is something that, like, my mom says, you know, it's all a gift. It's all a gift. My mom would always say, expect nothing and everything is a gift, which is sometimes some of the best advice and also sometimes like, all right, but like expect nothing and everything is a gift. And there is a lot of that that kind of helps protect yourself when you say that, but it also is a reminder that, I don't know, like, what if it is actually all a gift?
Yeah.
What if it is all a gift?
I was thinking about that exact phrase, and if you hadn't said it, I would have said it right after you finished, because that's
how podcasts
you know,
work.
Here we are. But, you know, and I would add to that phrase, right? Like, expect nothing and everything is a gift because you trust the gift giver.
Yeah.
You know?
The gracious
because
host.
You trust the gracious host, and you know there's always more in the back. Yeah.
Chip, what about you?
You know, I really enjoyed the lens that this allowed us to look at our lives, because it was very different ways to look at it. And I love that. And Sarah, we've been a lot this summer. We've been, and sometimes we can get caught in a black and white thinking, like it's either this or that. And instead of it's not or, it's and this. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be a difficult time that you're circling through, and God is still working through you. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
And I know, just from a camp perspective, there's some real hardships at camp this summer with the tragic loss of a camper, and so that was something that definitely let us feeling empty, you know, in a real bad way, you know. But you know, there also then, and I think you did mention it, like the opportunity for the family of God to come around your family, your mom and dad, and your sisters and brothers, but also the people that you were with on staff with this summer, people that you served with, and to see them come around. Granted, we would choose a different circumstance for sure.
Yeah.
And this happens every summer here in some way, shape, or form. The staff come together, and this year it came around that. And so that was a fullness that we experienced. But I think it's helped us to continue to reframe this for everyone, not to say, because I think I would say, like, in like narratives, like, what's the narrative of this summer? Like, what's the narrative of this job or this experience or this vacation, right?
Sure.
And it's like, well, maybe that it's not just one thing.
Right.
God's doing multiple things.
It's not good or bad. It's a gift. Which would be like a terrible answer. Someone was like, was it good or bad? I was like, well, it's a gift. All right, buddy.
Maybe we were talking about this even, Sarah. I think about a couple of years, a really tough couple of years of ministry that I had, that I was like, why am I here? This is terrible. Mm-hmm. All the things. I want to bail. And so empty in so many ways. But I was so dependent on the Lord in those moments. Like, it's the little boy with the five loaves and two fish. Like, this is all I got. So I don't know what to do with that. And I probably wouldn't be walking as closely with you, like, hustling as quickly to you and as regular to you, if it weren't for that. Mm-hmm. And so I don't miss that moment. Like, I don't miss that hard and that empty, and I don't pray for that. But I miss that. I miss that fellowship, right? Like, this sense of our empty. Wow, there's so much richness when we're like, I don't have much, and that's actually making sure I'm in much closer proximity.
Shelley, one of the things that you also, you know, we were talking about this earlier this week, one of the things you also said around that I found really valuable personally was when you said, I'm the little boy with five loaves and two fish, and when I hold that up to Jesus, when I hold that to God, he doesn't look at that and go, oh, good try, buddy. That's not enough. You know, he doesn't look at that and shame me for the limit or the lack that I bring to him. Right? He doesn't look at that and scoff at it or think, gosh, I wish you had more. He looks at it and says, I created you and I put you in this place with five loaves and two fish because I was ready to do something miraculous. Because I was ready to show up for you and take care of you, because you don't have to take care of you. I'm taking care of you. And I, you know, so many times I think we feel shame at our lack or our emptiness, because we think I don't have enough. I'm not enough. And yet God, that the source of that shame is not our Heavenly Father, is
That's
not
right.
our gracious
Amen.
Host, right? The source of that shame or that guilt over the little that we lack comes from the enemy.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Who's trying to convince us that, you know, God can't do with our five loaves and two fish exactly what he has always planned on doing. Mm. Right. Yeah.
Y'all should have your own podcast. That's kind of what I'm picking up.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to lunch?
Yeah.
We've got five loaves and two fish.
Yeah.
So when you... your ministry is, and you've been at Concordia St. Paul for,
yeah.
you said 10?
Almost 10 years.
Almost 10 years. And you started in campus ministry, I mean ministering to college students,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're moving into a teaching role. But
yep.
What have you learned over those years about, we just in full disclosure, like, not full disclosure, people know us, at the camp, our summer staff are all college age,
students,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so some of me actually go to Concordia St. Paul.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Emma and Andrew Geiger. this podcast is brought to you by Concordia
CSP.
St. Paul. CSP.
Go Bears.
Go Bears.
What are some learnings you had about what it means to serve with and administer to college-age kids?
Mm-hmm. They are the best. They're so fun, and they're so weird, and I think there's a beautiful emptiness that comes with being a college student or a college-aged human. 'Cause a lot of times... you're in high school, you think you know all the things, and you're like, oh, mom and dad, just, like, leave me alone and stop telling me, like, I know, I have a handle on it. And then they have to move out and do things on their own, and they're like, I literally know nothing. I know zero things. And so this beautiful kind of emptying in a humbling sort of way that they're like, Shelly, how do I make sense of all these things, or how do you do taxes? Or, you know, it's like very practical.
You're a tax consultant?
No, I am not.
It's a very big business.
For sure, no. Please yeah. do not ask me for advice. But that's how desperate they are. But all that to say, like, I think there's just, it's just such a sponge type of season, and what a gift it is to be able to walk alongside them and say, we don't have to be so anxious.
Mm-hmm.
We got time,
mm-hmm.
and the tomb is empty.
Mm-hmm.
And so those realities mm-hmm. shape everything else. And there are hard things that you're doing and you're feeling and you're working out and learning, and you're not doing it alone.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's really fun.
All the things that you also need to hear.
Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah. I also tell them that being an adult is a total sham.
Yes.
Like, people don't actually know what they're doing, and we're all
none of us know what we're doing.
Making it up, and except for Chip, but yeah.
No. The evidence is very, very clear. Well, there's not any question that, so.
Yeah, but yeah, just that, it makes me think of Andrew in the story of the feeding of the 5,000, right? He's like, I don't know what we're going to do, but like, I'm going to connect this kid with Jesus, and like, shoot, if that's what I get to do, like, if that's what we get to do, it's like, I'm not really sure what you're going to do with this guy or gal.
This is your situation now, God. Like, I'm just going to hand this one over. And,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But they're so fun. It's so good.
For those listening who have a college-age student in their life, love a college kid, see a college kid at church, you know, have a college-age babysitter, for those people, what would be a piece of advice that you would give to them in ministering and loving our college students well?
I think two things come to mind right now. It's so simple, like, invitation.
Mm-hmm.
In our churches, in our homes, like, it's so fun to have students over to my house because they just, like, flop. They're not in a dorm room or a dining hall. It's like, oh, I can just be blessed by hospitality for a little bit and seen,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of in this in-between spot of life where they might not have a lot. And
so
then,
you have lots of beanbag chairs around? Is that actually...
Not at my house, but in the chapel we do, in the basement. And the other thing would be to ask good questions and to be curious about where they're at and what's going on. And they're just learning so much, and to actually have people that see them and care about them and remind them that they're a valued part of God's family, even if they have questions, even mm-hmm. if they're working stuff out, even if they're not sure what they're going to do with their life, or they're going through a hard breakup, or, you know, all these like kind of upending experiences that are happening when you're a 20 something, and to hang out with people who've logged a little bit more time of watching God be faithful.
Hmm.
Right.
I
it's like
said that.
I don't know everything, but I've watched the gracious host get more from the back a few times and like, this is hard, but it won't be forever.
Mm-hmm.
But to actually ask some of those curious, like to be curious about mm-hmm. where they're at and walking with them, I think that's huge. They're so hungry for just somebody to walk alongside. And
so yelling at them to get off their phones isn't, and you're making yourself too.
Actually,
like a snide remark, like a
yeah,
make fun of them a little bit about it, and then it's like, oh.
Oh, sure. I'm doing that.
Yeah,
so you got that covered.
So I am camp director of the year. Once again, I've nailed it.
Snide remarks to college kids get off their phones. Wow, that's my spiritual
fulfilling.
Path, so. We always end our podcast with a question about, which we did not tell you in advance.
Okay,
so
perfect.
What is a resource that you might point our listeners to? Maybe about your topic, but it could be anything, like a book you're reading, a podcast you're listening to, movie that you just saw. I know Sarah Olson would say
Barbie.
Barbie.
1100 out of 10. That's my...
Not a math major. That's okay.
This is not... Yeah, this is not a sponsored podcast, so don't worry about it.
There is some language.
Yes.
There is.
Ooh, that's hard. I think... Well, I'll say one, and I used a couple of things from this this week in sharing, but I'm a part of a prayer collective called Griefs and Graces. Mm-hmm. As on Instagram and other places, Facebook, whatnot. But just giving people language, like mm-hmm. ordinary creative language, to be able to have conversation with God about grieving and great. Like the empty, that's really the empty and full dynamic,
yeah.
right? The grief and the grace, it's the empty and full. And so in all those ordinary, really human situations, like how do I have language to be able to communicate with God in that? And the other one is the Bible Project.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't go wrong, as I'm thinking about looking at the whole, like, zooming out of themes of biblical narrative things, like, just lots of bits and pieces that I love soaking up from them.
So thebibleproject.org, I believe, right? And
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and then you said Griefs and Graces.
Mm-hmm.
And they search that on your Facebooky thing.
Facebook,
on
Instagram.
On your little hand tablet situation.
On your hand tablet.
Get your Palm Pilot out.
Zoom it in. I'm going to voice text that into my phone. I would say that'll be in our show notes, because Tanner's in charge of our podcast. We never put things in our show notes, but I like to say that because other
just
podcasts.
Just for Tanner.
That'll be located in your
You're
head.
Just going to Google it. So Grief and Graces.
The world show
yes,
notes.
Yes,
Google.
You'll find it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Shelley,
for
your
joining
us, Campfire. Sarah and Tanner, thank you for co-hosting.
Anytime.
Thank you for hosting, Chip.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Gracious host.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Campfire Conversations. Make sure to subscribe to hear future episodes. Visit camp-arcadia.com for more information or find us on Facebook. We'll see you back at the campfire.